You know, if Dave and I have learned anything in our 45 years of marriage, it's how to
fight.
And we're kidding, but not really. But one thing we didn't know is that we each have our own reactive coping style when we're in stressful situations.
And mine's the best one, by the way.
It's not. And how we react can actually hurt all of our relationships. So our friends, Ron and Ann Deal, created an easy assessment for you to learn your reactive style. You can take it now at familylife.com/mindfulmarriage.
And we'll also send you chapter one of their new book. Again, go to familylife.com/mindfulmarriage to start mindfully working toward your best relationships. We need this.
We do.
Hey, we just wanted to give you a heads up before you listen to this next program. Today's conversation on Family Life Today is a little sensitive.
A little bit.
We're covering some important subjects, but I'm just going to be honest with you. It might not be suitable for younger ears. So We're encouraging you as parents, just like we are parents, use discretion when listening to this next broadcast. It's good stuff. But you might think, I don't think my kids should hear this. But if they do.
Yeah, make sure you have that conversation with them and talk about it if they do listen.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. And you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. What we're talking about today is something every single parent with kids under their roof need and want this conversation.
Yeah. Mary Flo and Megan are with us. And, you know, I don't know if you like this title. You're the birds and the bees girls.
Yes, that's right.
We are. I remember being in the car with our boys. They were all under 10. Back then, we didn't have screens. We didn't have computers on our phones. But I do remember saying, hey, guys, there could be a time you're at somebody's house and maybe there are pictures of naked women or naked people. And I just want you to come and tell me about that if that ever happens. And they're like, that is the grossest thing. I said, well, someday you may not think it's gross. You might think it's curious and you might want to look at it. And so there was one day, I can't remember how old our oldest son was. And he said, remember when you said we might be curious about those kind of things? I said, yeah. He goes, I'm at that age now.
But see, he could
tell you.
He told me, which I thought was incredible.
So funny.
But then I also had this pit in my gut like, oh, now what do I say?
Now we're really here.
I was walking with all three boys. Again, they're married with kids now. And my oldest was 12. So that means 12, 10, and 7. Am I getting the age right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so we're walking through a mall, and I look ahead, and I see magazine covers, like, eye level. They weren't up here. They were right down here. And I could see a swimsuit, you know, ahead. And so I watched them from behind. And a 12-year-old I saw noticed it. The 10 and 7 didn't even.
Clueless.
And so I pull CJ over, and I'll never forget. I go, hey, CJ, did you see that, you know, magazine there? Goes, no, I didn't see it. I go, well, I did. He goes, well, yeah, I did. I go, did you see the girl in the bikini on the thing? No, I didn't see it. I go, well, I did. He goes, well, yeah, I did too. I go, did you want to look at her? He goes, no, I didn't want to look at her. I go, well, I did. I'll never forget. He goes, what do you mean? I go, I sort of wanted to look at her. That's why she's on there with very little clothes on. Then I got right down his eye level, and I said, but you know what? I don't look. I look only at your mom. That's the only one in my life. Uh-oh. But that is always going to be an attraction. And don't feel bad that you want to look. That's normal. But it's like I said, it's like sewer water. You don't want to drink that kind of water. It's not good for you. I said, let's make a pack, like man to man. Let's try and be good with this. He goes, okay. But isn't it interesting that he immediately was not going to admit it? And then when his dad says, this is normal, he's like, oh, so how do we deal with it?
Yeah.
Which is so,
tell me,
that was
Birds Girls. Was that a good, was that
amazing?
Because I
think you're just proving our point, which is we need to lead.
Yes.
And we all know everyone's afraid and scared and dreading this, but it's our responsibility as parents. It's our privilege as parents
our privilege
to speak into this with our young kids. You're leading, gave your son a safe place, to be honest. And think about the opposite. What if you were a dad who thought, oh, don't look at that, you know, and said nothing, or look away, boys, or, you know, whatever it is. What that would have done to that conversation.
I mean, it led to many conversations.
Yeah.
Some parents are just, they think it's too painful. I can't do that.
It does feel awkward.
It does feel awkward. But here's something to think about. Pick your pain. It's going to be painful either way. We are either having this painful, somewhat awkward conversation with my son who just looked at a picture, and we're going to turn it into a relationship builder. But it was painful at the beginning. It's probably hard to say, yeah, I did too. Like, a lot of parents would be too afraid to admit that. But you picked that pain over the pain of a long-term, can't talk about it, who knows where this will go. Not talking about it is not avoiding the pain. It's just picking a different kind of sort of pinch pain or deep pain.
Now, how are your husbands involved? I'm sitting over here as a guy thinking, okay, we're listening to two women and talking about it. How do your men, or how should we as men?
In the parenting conversations?
Yeah, with this whole topic, it isn't just moms talking to their kids, it's
dads. I'm assuming, too, there's probably one parent that could feel more comfortable than another, possibly. That does happen.
And we always say, we get the question a lot, okay, so moms talk to girls and dads talk to boys, right? And we say, no, what we are encouraging is for whoever's asked the question should answer it. We want these conversations to be happening as naturally as possible.
Don't wait and say, well, when your dad comes in.
No, I mean, you might want to have him to follow up. You know, circle back. We say that a lot of, like, you might say, but I want dad to answer a little bit more because he's got a different perspective than me. But we want them to know that they can come to us with their questions. And so if the question comes up in the car, you want to answer them. You don't want to say, well, let's talk to dad. You know, because that kind of makes them think, well, maybe mom doesn't know what she's talking about. Or maybe, and I might not know something.
Or maybe mom's embarrassed.
And so for dads, we say, this is just as much your job as it is mom's job. And those conversations might be different based on personalities or time availability, if they're around a lot or if they're not around, or who's driving carpool that week. You know, it, I think it just depends. But typically there'll be somebody who's more comfortable talking, but I don't think there's a hard and fast rule. But
that's good. I mean, I'm encouraging dads, get involved.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
You know, I mean, honestly. And some of it would be like if I had a daughter, which we had sons, and she started asking me about menstruation, I'd be like, you know, they're part of me like, I can, I know the details, but I don't know anything. Where can our watchers and listeners get your stuff?
So our online course is our most comprehensive resource. It's a 75-minute class. We both teach it. We break down the talk into 10 different video sessions. You can watch at home with a small group, with your spouse, by yourself. And that's on our website, birds-bees.com. And then for daily talking tips in an online community, you can follow us on Instagram. And that's at birds_bees.
All right. And we'll put that in the show notes.
Okay, thanks.
Great. So coach us on how to protect our kids from any kind of sexual abuse, because parents are wanting to know that, but they're not sure where to get started.
Well, really, to get started, it is with the vocabulary. Not being too silly, not being too shameful, but being very matter-of-fact about it. And letting them know that those parts are private parts.
And young that started children, probably when they're really young.
When they're young, when they're potty training.
What's that sound like when you do it?
Well, you just name their body parts. So we don't give them all of the body parts, but we're building up to conception and birth. The privacy is also an important part of that. And what we want them to know is, what does private mean? Because you'll say, those are private, and a child will nod. Okay, but do they even know what that means? And so you want to give them specific instructions. No one else looks at, touches, or takes pictures. We have to add that now. Of your private parts, and you don't do that to other people. You just set clear boundaries so that they know. And actually, Megan has a great example of when they were all going on a family trip with other families and kind of sat everybody down. Maybe share that, because I thought that was really cool.
Again, kind of just going ahead of these situations, because I think parents, I think to reassure you, if you're sitting here listening, thinking, well, my kids are silly about private parts all the time. Great. And you have normal children, and you'll have plenty of opportunities to speak in this way to them. But when you're around a lot of kids, I think it's always helpful to kind of go ahead of these situations. And so this was a spring break trip we took with a bunch of families, shared a big lake house, whatever, and to kind of go over the rules. And obviously these are families we're very close with, and the parents were all on board and wouldn't, like, take over here. Just to kind of establish to all the kids, hey, here are the kind of rules of the weekend, you know, or of the evening. The kids are going to be upstairs watching a movie with the parents, finish their pizza downstairs. The lights are going to stay on. This is the movie we've picked. No one's changing it. Let's be kind and thoughtful to the little kids. Like, let's not pick on them. Keep your clothes on. Remember, guys, our private parts are private. And if you need anything, come downstairs and get us. And the door's staying open. You know, so right there, you're just clearing the, you know, making it very crystal clear.
It's just a normal conversation. You're going to have popcorn.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Keep your private cards covered.
Yeah. Because the reality is that's when things happen.
Yeah.
Is when the cousins are having a sleepover or the neighbors are upstairs or what, and the parents are having dinner and people aren't looking. And then our kids don't know exactly what to do with this information. And so we are going a step ahead of them and saying, hey, these are the rules. This is the clear line. And if it's crossed, come and tell me. And so kids need us to establish those clear boundaries. And so that is something that can be done for overnight things, mm-hmm. for play dates. In the bathtub, if you go to the pediatricians now tell your children in the room, I think my daughter was maybe 8 when this, 7, said, you know, sweetheart, Dr. So-and-so is going to be looking. I can only do this because your mommy's in the room. Mm. So they're establishing that
my
pattern.
My pediatrician always said that, mm-hmm. too.
But we also encourage parents from that story, use your pediatrician voice. Mm-hmm. She didn't emotionalize that conversation of, oh,
it wasn't
sweetie.
Heavy. Yeah.
This is going to feel funny. Mm. But because your mom, are you okay? I mean, it's just like, hey, this is what it is. This is the line. Are you okay with it? Is your mother okay with it? Okay, let's move on. Mm. And I think that is what we can kind of use that tone in our home.
Yeah.
My youngest is now 6, so he has been living in this. You know, we always say your family is the age of your oldest child and everybody mm-hmm. keeps up. So God bless my 6-year-old. He is living in an almost 12-year-old home. But there are a lot of good things that come with that. Anyway, so he has been the product of this home. We talk all the time and all these things. And he came home the other day and said, you know, so-and-so touched my private parts at school. And I said, oh, I'm so glad you told me that. But, you know, nobody else is supposed to touch it. Because I know. So I told
obviously,
him.
You didn't
good
freak out.
Response,
and I did not freak
because
out.
Because mm-hmm. every parent would want to freak
voice,
out.
Just, mm-hmm.
Right.
Thanks
because I think you're in, because we talk about this so often, my instinct was not like, well, there's a predator in that classroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to sue the school. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, take it down. I'm so glad you told me that. Nobody should ever do that. I'm so glad you told me. Tell me what happened. You know, it was a playground situation. I think he did this. You know, it was nothing terrible. I mean, no one should touch your private parts, period. Let's just clear the air.
But he knew the boundaries.
But he knew the boundaries. And even if it was a silly, playful slap, you know, it's still not appropriate. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm so glad you told me that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll make sure I'll talk to Mrs. So-and-so. And then what are some things you could say in the playground if he does that again? And he goes, yeah, I told him, you do not touch my private parts. I said, well, there you go. I said, I'm so proud of you for using your voice in that way. But again, that was a very small example of a very little situation, praise God, that was not a mm-hmm. big deal.
Yeah.
But it was empowering for him to know we had to practice that at home, not every day, you know, but that's something we talk about. And something, the line was crossed. He knew that clear line. That's not right. Hey, stop.
Yeah.
And then he came and told me, I affirmed
6
him.
6 years old.
And he's 6.
He sounded like a 12-year-old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
exactly.
I said, I'm so proud of you for saying that. You know, and as a parent, I want parents to hear that I am not afraid of that.
Yeah.
Because not that there are terrible things out there. We could all live in fear for everything. But in that situation, I thought, I know that he knows these things. I know he can speak up. I know things can happen. And that is what we want to do is empower parents.
Yeah.
That this is not something I can do because I'm a birds and bees person. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you can do this.
Yeah.
Everybody can talk to their kids like this.
Can you imagine if you'd been taught that?
I mean, I was assigned as a 4-year-old to find pornography from uncles.
Mm.
Oh, and so just the exposure of that, you don't even realize. I mean, you know that the rates of girls and boys now being abused sexually is crazy.
It's 1 in 4?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for little girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not much better for little boys. But just last week, I was with a woman. She's in her 30s. She's about to have her 5th baby. And she was saying, we were doing some just like some trauma things that she had experienced. Mm-hmm. And I said, when was the first time that you experienced that trauma? And she said, I was 5 years old and my neighbor was 8. And we were at the side of the house outside. And he said, pull down your pants. And she said, I didn't know what to do. And so I didn't do it, but then he told me again, do it. Mm-hmm. And I did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought, as you're talking, I'm like, this is what we need to equip our kids with. Just some tools, some strategies, some wisdom.
Empowering the children.
It's empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just got goosebumps because I can't tell you how many DMs we get from parents saying, this just happened in the backyard.
Yep.
Yeah.
This happened at my sister's house.
Yep.
This happened at whatever. And I think we've been so misinformed as parents. And so I don't want any parent to sit here and think, oh, I've done it wrong. I've messed up.
No.
You know, Christ redeems all things. You are not too late to do these things. But the answer is so simple. Move into that space.
Yeah.
Speak into that. Oh, honey, you shouldn't. Nobody should touch your private part.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you told me. We've got to move towards our kids. You know, we preempt these situations to protect them. And that happens so often because kids are curious.
Kids
are so curious. They are. And these situations happen all the time. And so if we as the parents aren't speaking into this and not setting those clear boundaries, it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is just so heartbreaking.
I mean, like you said, we have to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have to because we have to be the voices because they're hearing them. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking what you experienced and what your friend experienced is heightened times 1,000 because of porn.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
right.
Kids
are stumbling upon it and they don't even know, I want to see that. Mm-hmm. And they are curious. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it's normal, but it's so degrading.
It really has been. And the thing is that the voice that you use will also make a difference. Your words make a difference. If you come to them in a really heavy voice, but we don't do that when we're talking about crossing the street. We say, okay, let's look both ways. These are the boundaries, and this is the protection. When they're in the kitchen, that's really a hot stove. We need to back away. You know, we don't go, now let me tell you about third-degree burns. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't go there.
That's good. Yeah.
And when they're at the pools, there have to be an adult. You know, we're setting boundaries for them all the time. But I do think it's the enemy who makes
me
us
too.
Think we should not set boundaries on this in just a normal tone, in using your pediatric voice, you know, using that, I'm just telling you, this part of your body, these parts of your body should not, other people should not look, you shouldn't let them touch. If that ever happens, you come to me, you walk away, you give them instructions, you guide them because you can't always be with them.
Let me ask you, if a parent's listening and they haven't done any of this, maybe they have a 12-year-old and they're even wondering, could any of this have happened to my kids? Like, how do we start the conversation at that age if we haven't been having a lot of little conversations?
Well, we bring it to their attention, but you don't have to pull it all out at the same time.
Okay.
Like, you don't have to go through everything.
Yeah.
But I think you can own it. You can say, okay, there's a topic that has never been on our table. Like, we have never brought it up. And if you've asked questions, I'm going to confess I've kind of avoided them because it makes me uncomfortable. But we're going to start talking about things having to do with sex. When I say sex, I mean how babies are made, how babies are born, what our bodies are made for. But we're not going to start today. But over the next several months, we're going to have lots of little conversations. I just want you to know that's on my mind now.
And what if the child says, oh, Mom, this is so humiliating.
And just say, I get it. I get it. And know that these are now in the future going to be better shoulder to shoulder than face to face. So don't look in their face and say, we're going to meet at the breakfast table, you know, 6 a.m. and we're going to talk. But no, it's more like, we're going to take a walk on Tuesday night.
That's
the
so
only
wise.
Night that we have. And we're only going to walk around the block twice. Like, we're not going to walk 5 miles and talk about this, but we're just going to. And I want you to bring some questions. You might be uncomfortable at first. I have to tell you, I've obviously been uncomfortable, but it's too important for me not to break the silence. And so I'm going to break the silence. And we're going to start this journey together. But it's not the time for you to say, so tomorrow we're going to cover everything that I've missed. It's more like we're just going to start this journey. And maybe it's washing dishes together or folding clothes together or doing something, but not face-to-face and not all at once.
Mm-hmm. I remember my mom coming to me, I think I might have been 13, and my sister had exposed that she had been sexually abused to my mom. And so my mom came to me and said, hey, has so-and-so ever touched you? And it was a dread voice. It was very
a dread
solemn,
in her voice.
Her voice, very solemn. I already had been abused. And I felt so much shame about it that I was like, no. And that, because that person didn't, but other people had. And so I wish, I don't know if I would have ever admitted to it because I had so much already and I'd pushed it down. I'd felt so much shame. But I think if she would have not had the solemn, scary voice, and if she would have brought it back up in a normal way, or even said, you know, this happens sometimes and it's not your fault. That would have lifted up so much because as a little girl, as even 4 and 5, I remember I was 5 years old. I thought, it must be something with me. Mm. It must be me that this keeps happening. Mm-hmm. And so just to acknowledge some of those things, I think it's so healthy and so good to not just try once, mm-hmm. but yes. over and over. And what a great conversation if you haven't done. It's just so humble. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't been good at this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. Like, yes. I should have.
Yes, or I just didn't understand. No one ever spoke to me, and I didn't know. But now I'm feeling it very strongly that I need to start having these conversations. And for a while, you don't have to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
You know, you're not obligated, but it's on me. But there's some things you need to hear. And they may say, I already know all of this.
Yeah.
You might know a lot, but I need you to hear my heart. Mm-hmm. And we need to make a path where we can talk about these things.
So good. Yeah. I wanted to get mm-hmm. into some specifics, and I'm sure you get asked this, like, when should a brother and sister not take baths together anymore, or a parent showering with a child? Are there age-appropriate times when that shouldn't be happening?
We get that question a lot. Mm-hmm. That is one of our most frequently asked questions. And the long and short of it for both of those questions, we would say to respect the most modest person. So modesty is a scale. Some families are going to be very modest. Some families are very immodest. That's a personal preference. Culturally, it's a huge thing. Our Instagram community has grown internationally. And so whenever we discuss this on Instagram, we hear from people all over the world. They're like, you Americans are the most modest people.
Different cultures.
Oh, yes. And it's shocking. You're like, wait, y'all bathe together? What? You know, and we've got people be like, my four-year-old is looking at, you know. So it is such a swing.
Yes.
But we always say respect the most modest person. So before puberty, before body starts to change, if everybody's comfortable with it, if you have an 8-year-old and a 7-year-old that still are taking a bath together and everything's fine, carry on. No big deal. But if someone starts to express verbally or non-verbally a desire for privacy, like, I don't really want to bathe with my brothers anymore, or they're, you know, hanging with the towel in the corner, you know what, guys, we're going to take separate showers. And parent to child, you know, you might be very immodest. Your husband might be very immodest, but you can tell your child's visibly uncomfortable now. That they're typically, it happens like late elementary school. I mean, it doesn't happen for a while, but if they start to become uncomfortable, but you're thinking, well, this is just the way we are. Mm-hmm. Well, if the child's uncomfortable, again, take the onus off of them. You are the parent. So, you know what? We're all getting robes for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're going to do now. So be mindful of the most modest person in the home. But I think bath time, honestly, with siblings is a really, it's chock full of conversations.
Yeah.
So if everyone's okay with it, that is age appropriate. But again, respect the most modest person in the home. But if everyone's still okay with it and their bodies have not started changing and you're not in those puberty years, then it's really okay. Mm.
And I would almost add, and if they're not being too silly, like they have to be respecting the boundaries in the bathtub too.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I would just say thank you, because I think you know better than we do. You're changing the conversation.
Yeah.
For the next generation of parents.
Because it's our job to disciple our kids in this area. Because if you're not as a parent, the culture and the world will, and they are discipling our kids in this area.
And that's something we say a lot to encourage parents and to kind of wake them up a little of the world is shouting.
Yes.
The world is sending very clear messages about sex. And they are most likely degrading, confusing, disrespectful. And if we, out of our discomfort or awkwardness or dread or, can't say that word, if we're so afraid of this, we are essentially just waving a white flag and saying, I can't do this, sweetie. Mm-hmm. But just listen.
Yeah.
And our children deserve so much more than that. Mm. And it is our responsibility and privilege, like we said, to speak into this. And particularly as Christians, we have a good story to tell.
Yes.
And if we are believing the culture of this is the reality, this is the actual definition of sex and the design, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, we have a good story to tell. And if we're not telling it, that we're giving our story rights away to somebody else.
I love that you're bringing it all into the light. Because what you said, like the enemy loves the darkness and the shadows. Jesus is all about the light.
Right.
Yes. So let's have those conversations with our kids. And pray. If you haven't prayed about it, pray that God will give you wisdom.
Absolutely.
And direction.
Pray for sure.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having us.
Hey, before we're done today, let me say this. We meet a ton of couples who say family life has helped us when we needed it the most. And that's what being a family life partner is all about, partnering with us to help others find the same encouragement that you found here.
So when you support us monthly as a partner, you'll get a Weekend to Remember gift card, insider access, and you become part of a growing community that's investing in families for eternity. And we would love for you to join us. Click the donate button at familylifetoday.com and become a partner today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.